Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Put it all together.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Kyrie Irving decides, you know what? I don't think I'm going to get that money elsewhere. I'll just go back. Durant says, you know what? I'm out. I'll just go back.
Earlier on the show, Falcons head coach Arthur Smith, 15-time hot dog eating contest champion Joey Chestnut, 4-time Oscar nominee, author and director Michael Mann. Coming up, Patriots safety Devin McCourty, senior NBA insider for The Athletic, Shyam Charania. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Can confirm, sources say. And here I am on youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and Odyssey and this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate that is carrying this show. And we greatly appreciate it coast to coast. We say hello to our podcast listeners. And we are just, again, reminding everyone that this show will start airing on the Roku channel for free on Roku devices, on Fire TV, on Samsung smart TVs, on mobile devices, and also the RokuChannel.com. The Roku channel is free, and we are starting streaming there this very September, still from 12 to 3 Eastern, still the same top-notch caliber information and entertainment that we provide every single day. Like Joey Chestnut, the champion hot dog eater, saying he will, in fact, use a hot dog as a straw to drink a beer tonight at Wrigley Field. That happened 1 hour ago on the show at this very time. So on behalf of everyone on planet Earth, you're welcome. That'll be happening. Devin McCourty of the Patriots will join us. We just hung up with the director, Michael Mann, whose book Heat 2 is number one on the novel bestseller list for the New York Times. And he told some great stories from the set of Heat. If you missed any of that, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show is your source for all of that. Our first story that we talked about yesterday was the news that we learned because we follow Shyam Charania, the Athletic and stadium NBA insider on Twitter. He mentioned that the Nets had all gotten together, the owner of the Nets and his wife and Kevin Durant and Rich Kleiman and Sean Marks and Steve Nash, the last two being the general manager and the coach that supposedly Kevin Durant refused to play for or have still on the team if he was going to rescind his trade demand and stay. And they're still there, and so is Durant. So on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line to explain this all is none other than Shyam Charania. How are you, sir?
Rich, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. So what happened, man? How did this genie get put back in the bottle?
I think a lot of it, Rich, was just the realization from Kevin Durant and the Nets, really, that there was not going to be a trade at the end of the day, that was going to happen. And so at that point, Kevin Durant was going to be faced with a decision coming up because training camp is just a month away. And if there's no deal, Kevin Durant's going to be faced with the decision, do I show up in a disgruntled state of mind, kind of pull a Jimmy Butler, James Harden that we've seen over the last 2-3 years, or is it going to be one of those things where you have a holdout situation, you know, the likes of Ben Simmons just a year ago? And I don't think Kevin Durant, this saga has already gotten ugly as it is. I mean, it's already gotten personal in terms of the trade request itself was personal. And then the ultimatum that was given to Joe Tsai a few weeks ago was personal. And just going down that path, clearly it just wasn't going to be something that either side wanted to stomach. And so it was really just a realization and the eye-opening experience that a deal wasn't going to happen. The best offer I'm told that the Nets had on the table was from the Celtics, Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and a first-round pick. And the price tag that the Nets had put forth on Kevin Durant, and you know, you could say that they might have been even asking for something that they know was never going to be attainable anyway, right? But at the end of the day, when you have a guy that's a 12-time All-Star, 2-time Finals MVP, going to go down in the Hall of Fame, one of the top 15, you know, 12, 20 best players ever, you have a high asking price. And that price was never going to be met. And I think both sides understood that this is the best opportunity to win a championship. And, Rich, I thought once the season ended, once the Nets were swept on April 23rd, that's when this meeting should have taken place, because there were a lot of, you know, grievances. There were a lot of feelings on both ends that needed to be aired out. And, you know, better late than never. You know, but this should have been done months ago. It finally happens now. And I think they both sides came to the realization that we need each other. And at this point, there's going to be pressure when you go into this next season, but they needed to move past this because the deal just was not going to happen.
So the other date in question, Shams, is June 30th. That's the date that the trade demand by Durant became public, and it was just a couple of days after Kyrie opted back in, and so many people started drawing a connected line between those two dots. And then we learn that that Durant wants the general manager and coach out as a condition of his staying and rescinding his trade demand. So you used the word disgruntled moments ago. What exactly was Durant, or is he still, disgruntled about?
I think just when you look at how this summer has played out, they were swept in the playoffs in round one. That series did not end. That season did not end how everyone expected. And I think a level of accountability, we saw, you know, Sean Marks, the press conference that he had in mid-May, and a lot of the tone of the press conference was about accountability, about, you know, resetting the culture, about how the culture might have, you know, worsened or might not be what it was a few years ago. Well, the only thing that really changed in the last few years was the arrival of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. So I don't know how those two guys took it, but that, you know, was something that did occur. And then I think you have to look at the Kyrie Irving, you know, extension negotiations and the fact that both sides were not able to get a deal done. Kevin Durant has, you know, vocally supported, privately supported Kyrie Irving over the last 6 to 8 months, while I think a lot of people have come down on Kyrie Irving. And so I think you cobble those two things, you know, in this situation. Adam Harrington, an assistant on the Nets staff who was very close with Kevin Durant, a guy that's known throughout the league as a Durant confidant. He was fired at the end of the season. And so you take all those things into account, and just a lack of communication that existed between both sides. And again, that's something on both sides, right? That's something on the player side. That's something on the team side. Because at the end of the day, the only way you're going to get resolutions, the only way you're going to get past moments in life that are tough is through conversation and through a real relationship and through an open forum. And it took these guys, Rich, 2 months to get in the same room in a meeting together. Well, actually more than that. It's May, June, July, August. 4 months to get in the same room and 2 months since the trade request. So that tells you everything you need to know about where this gulf existed.
Shams Charania here on the Rich Eisen Show, The Athletic and Stadium Senior NBA Insider. Look, I mean, I'm sure you've been involved in negotiations in your career doing what you do. I have as well. Anytime you agree to something based on the fact that management doesn't give you what you want and presents the reality as a fait accompli, it doesn't really sit in well with the person who accepts the fait accompli, and that's Durant. The fait accompli is that we're not getting the value that we place on you. You should take that as a compliment, although that prevents you from getting the exit visa you want. And you don't want to hold out. We don't want you to hold out. So let's just, you know, let's just go back together again and let bygones be bygones. Is that really the way it's going to be? Is that the way they're entering the season with this still bubbling beneath the surface? Or was this conversation in Los Angeles airing things out, and they really have come to an agreement, and it's all hunky-dory? What do you got for me,
Rich? I think it's a little bit of both, and that's why these things are complex. It's not just a black and white situation.
Right.
I think this is very, very complex. It could be both things. Now, in a perfect world, you know, in a perfect life, I think Kevin Durant clearly would have loved to get traded, and I think the Nets, in a perfect world, you know, they wouldn't have had the restrictions of the rookie designated extension rule that didn't allow them to get a guy like Bam Adebayo or Donovan Mitchell on the roster because they had Ben Simmons on the team. And in a perfect world, the Nets would have gotten teams gutting their roster and giving every last asset like Joe Tsai and Sean Marks had wanted in any type of the Kevin Durant trade. So that's in a perfect world. But we, as we know, Rich, the world and life just isn't perfect, especially for a guy like Kevin Durant. He's got 4 years left on his deal. So a trade like this, if this was going to go down, during training camp, before training camp, during the season, it was going to get uglier than what it already was. And that might be tough for the listeners to believe and tough for people to believe, but that's just business. And in the NBA, if a guy wants to trade, it's going to get ugly. If a guy on a four-year deal wants to trade, we saw what happened with Ben Simmons. We saw the saga that took place. And I think both sides at the end of the day, Kevin Durant, you know, 33, going on 34, the legacy at the end of the day that he's built, the stature that he's built in this league, he's going to go down as a top 10 to 20 player of all time. Do you want to put yourself in a position where you're holding out of games? And clearly he did not want to go down that route. And clearly the Nets didn't want him to go down that route.
Right.
So, and on the same token, I do think this opportunity, from everything I've been told, they left that meeting energized and ready for next season. I don't think this meeting was Kevin Durant left and he's like, man, I still want to get traded. Like, what the hell? I don't think that's the tenor. I know that's not how the tenor of that conversation ended.
Best you can tell, are he and Kyrie cool? Like, because again, Kyrie returns, and Durant is he and Rich Kleiman are very astute. He had a no, like, I'm going to ask for a trade. And I know that they're, you know, in this day and age, those people like Durant are accommodated because they're Durant. But they had to know that they could end like this as well. So why would he opt out after Kyrie opts in? Why would that happen?
Yeah, I think you know, a couple of things. One, I think, yeah, I mean, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, they've continued their relationship. You know, the one guy since the NBA season, since the Nets season ended on April 23rd, the one guy with the Nets that Kevin Durant had remained in communication with, from everything I've been told, was Kyrie Irving. That was the one guy that he was communicating with on a regular basis. Their, you know, but their friendship, that relationship goes beyond just basketball. I think it's more of a life friendship that those two have. And I think there was a decision made, you know, throughout the last four and a half months that, listen, Kyrie Irving had a player option at the end of the day. He had to do what's best for him. Kevin Durant was entering the first year of a four-year extension. He had to do what's best for him. I don't think either of those situations had, you know, I think those were pretty spelled out. Like, we're going to do what's best for ourselves and each other, you know, versus, like, let's figure out, like, how we can, because they've already teamed together once in 2019. That's how they got to the Nets. I think now this is a different situation. And as far as Kyrie Irving, the moment he opted in, I think his mindset just was, how can I make the most of being on the Nets? With or without Kevin Durant, I think his mindset was focused on being a Net. And I think over the last several weeks, you know, ever since Summer League and the opt-in, I think the Nets and Kyrie Irving, from everything I've been told, have had positive, constructive dialogue. And I think that being a backdrop of all of this, I think, you know, at least the Nets have had the stability of Kyrie Irving being comfortable being back in any circumstance. So I don't think that Lakers scenario was really ever on the table in a real way once Kyrie Irving opted in.
Sharam Sharani here on the Rich Eisen Show. So where does Simmons fit in all of this? Is it true that Simmons left a text chain that involved a Nets player, a group of Nets players during the playoffs? They asked him to come back for Game 4 and he left the chat room. That's a hot story and rumor. Is that true? Did that happen? Best you can tell?
That did not happen, Rich. 100% did not happen. As far as Ben Simmons' future and how he plays in all this, I think he plays a very big role in all this. I mean, at the end of the day, he is part of this big three. There's going to be a lot of hope and a lot of expectations on Ben Simmons this season. He did not play last season. There was hope. There was expectation he was going to play in Game 4 in that first round series. He did not play. And so there's a lot for him to prove next season. And from everything I've been told, he has looked apart this summer. He had back surgery in May to fix an issue that's gone on for the last few years. And he's made a great recovery from what I'm told. And he's already been cleared for full 3-on-3. In the coming weeks, he's going to be cleared for full 5-on-5. And the expectation, and he's on track to be fully cleared for the start of training camp in late September. And so he fits a very big picture in all this. When the Nets made that trade last year, traded away James Harden, Ben Simmons was thought of to be a perfect fit on that team. He's able to defend, he's able to pass, he's able to rebound, ball handled. He's able to do everything that alleviates the pressure from Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And only time will tell. You know, we can all, you know, I can speak on the information that I have, but at the end of the day, the only thing that'll dictate how Ben Simmons, you know, the trajectory of his career is going to be when he steps foot on the floor, and that's going to be coming up here in preseason.
So just two more questions for you on this, Shams. So couldn't help but notice in the press statement or the release that came out to confirm from the team what you were reporting, that everyone met in Los Angeles and that they're going to continue on. And the word partnership was used. And also couldn't help but notice that Durant and Kleiman's brand, The Boardroom, had its logo next to the Nets logo, and the word partnership was used. Can we connect these dots again and see that maybe part of this conversation was the Nets were going to, I don't know, do something with Durant's company or production company in conjunction? Why use the word partnership, and why put his logo on this team?
Yeah, I don't know about the logo aspect. As far as the partnership, I think that verbiage is important, because I do think the last 3 years, the relationship between Kevin Durant, Josiah, Sean Marks, that has been a partnership, right? Like, if you're making moves for your organization, you know, as Sean Marks and Josiah have been over the last 3 years, ever since they got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, you want to involve your star players. You know, different organizations do that. When we look at the Lakers, the Clippers, you know, the Nets, teams like that. I think that just comes with his stature, and I think it has been a partnership. Now, when did that partnership kind of start to crumble a little bit? Clearly, the last 3-4 months is when that partnership crumbled, you know, when the trade request was made and the ultimatum was made. But now the fact that verbiage was used again, that I think, again, reemphasizes that I do, from everything I'm told, what I believe is those sides left that meeting with the, you know, renewed energy, a renewed hope of, like, let's finish what we started and let's see how next season goes. And I do think that was genuine.
And okay. And that, all that said, the general sense that I've feel and sense, and I think others will, is in the crucible of a playing season, losing streaks will happen, or a timeout will occur that Durant might not agree with or Kyrie might not agree with. There's always disagreements, but usually teams can overcome that, unless there was something beneath the surface a year prior that required an offseason like this and a meeting like the one that happened in Los Angeles to kind of put back in the bottle. Is this how fragile will this be? Because I think everyone will look at Brooklyn Nets games this year to see body language, to see press conferences, how they're conducted, that that trade deadlines might force action as well. What do you think about that, Shams?
I do believe there's going to be a lot of pressure on the Nets this season. There's going to be a lot of pressure on the players, from Kevin Durant after the situation, on Kyrie Irving entering the last year of his deal, Ben Simmons from last season, what happened there, Joe Harris coming back from injury, pressure on Sean Marks, on Steve Nash, on the entire organization. I think from top to bottom, I think that meeting was important because everyone has to be better. So there's no doubt, you know, whatever, you know, word you want to use, whether it's, you know, there's going to be a very thin line to this season, no question. When that adversity hits, when you lose games, you know, how will those star players, those stakeholders take it? That's going to be very important. But those habits are going to be built in training camp. And we're going to know, you know, as training camp goes and as that's going along, what the tenor of those relationships within those fine lines is going to be. But there's no question, there's going to be pressure on this entire organization, really the moment media day tips off on September 26th.
Okay, and last one for you, Omnibus. What's the latest steps for the Lakers? Russell Westbrook, his future, what now that LeBron has signed an extension? What do you think?
You know, I would expect the Lakers to continue to look at the marketplace to make their team better. And, you know, I don't think there's a concerted effort to moving Russell Westbrook. I think the concerted effort is, can we make a deal with certain players on the roster with picks that we have to improve this team? And if there's not going to be a deal out there, then I think this team is pretty comfortable standing pat and running it back with Darvin Ham, you know, newly at the helm. But I think – you know, I would keep a close eye on guys like Patrick Beverley, Bojan Bogdanovic. Those are the guys that are still on the marketplace right now that could be available.
I didn't know Beverley was available until, you know, he blamed it all on Durant that he's still available. I saw that today. That was great. Did you see that one, Shams? Did you see that one?
I did. I think Utah has, you know, a bevy of guys. You know, we look at Donovan Mitchell. Those talks with the Knicks are continuing. Other teams around the league are talking to the Jazz about Donovan Mitchell. But I think those the best aside from Mitchell, when you look at Beverley, Bogdanovic, Mike Conley, Jordan Clarkson, Malik Beasley, I think all those guys, you know, at a certain price tag are available.
Shams, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. I always love picking your brain. Thanks for the time. Look for more of my calls, please. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Rich. Have a good one.
The one and only Shams Charania. I follow him on Twitter. You should as well. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and Devin McCourty of the New England Patriots has just called in. We'll take his call in just a few moments. Joining us here, a longtime veteran in this league and, of course, of the New England Patriots, Devin McCourty, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Devin?
I'm good, man. How you doing, Rich?
I'm doing great. I'm going to jump right into it right here. Who gets the Cirque du Soleil tickets, you or Belichick? Who gets that for you guys?
Definitely not me.
So Bill's on it? Bill's on it for you guys? The Blue Man Group? He's all on it for you?
I definitely see him doing that for us.
Don't you think?
That sounds like a good day for tomorrow.
Don't you think? Yeah, you should ask him. Have we seen the Blue Man Group tonight, Bill? Is that what
we're
going
to
do?
I mean, we're in Vegas. Why not?
Why not? Although everything that happens there stays there. So I appreciate you trying to keep that under wraps. So walk me through what's going on in your world and how different things might be in this training camp based on other previous ones in the ever-changing world of the New England Patriots, Devin. Anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, man, it's back and forth. It's going back and forth. I mean, obviously, last week practicing against Carolina was different. And I think just being out here in Vegas, we obviously opened week one in Miami, so that heat and the weather. So being out here the last 3 days, you know, we practiced by ourselves on Monday. So being out here and then practicing against this quality team, I think, has been a lot of good work for us. Some back and forth. They're a talented group. So I know just speaking from a defensive side, we got a lot of good work seeing against guys like Devontae Adams, guys we don't see all the time, and Renthrope and those different guys. I think we got some really good looks out here.
So, yeah, and Waller as well. I'm sure he presents a challenge in a practice, in a scrimmage, that's for sure.
Yeah, he hasn't been out here this week, so we haven't gotten to see him.
Okay. He's probably, yeah, he's, they're ready to unpack him at some point, I imagine. So, okay. So what's going on in the world of the offense on that side of the ball, Devin? There's so much concern about the way the offense is being run and who's coordinating and who's calling the plays. What insight can you give us on how the offense looks right now for New England, Devin?
It's a work in progress, man. I think a lot of those guys have been talking about that and speaking about it, and I think that's what it is, man. I know for me, it's my 13th year. I've never worried about the offense. I've always felt like my concern needs to be what I do and for this team. That's playing defense and being a leader on the defensive side. And I think everything comes along when it comes along. I've been in camps before where offensively it felt like we were behind and then the season hit and you can see the game plan and everything get rolling. So I know there's a lot of questions from the outside. I think, but, you know, inside us as a team, guys have just been kind of trucking along, figuring things out. And, you know, there's some real good moments out here on the practice field. And it's fun in these joint practices, getting a chance to just cheer the offense on, having fun. And, you know, I think we got to do a little bit of that the last 2 days.
Weird seeing Patricia huddle up with the offense to you? Is it weird seeing him doing that?
I would say at first, but I think coming off of last year, he did so many different things. He helped out with the offense. He helped out with the defense. So he was just all over the place, and I think now he's still, you know, figuring out and doing multiple roles for the team. And right now that's been more offense, and, you know, I think it's been good for us.
So he's doing more than just calling the plays, is what you're saying?
Rich, I'll tell you the truth. I have no idea what they do on offense.
I love it. Okay. I appreciate that honesty right there. Devin McCourty here on the Rich Eisen Show. He just mentioned year 13 for this terrific professional football player, and we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio outfit talking with Devin McCourty, calling in from Las Vegas, Nevada, where the Patriots are going through a scrimmage right now. How is different? I know you just mentioned how, you know, you don't really know what's going on the offensive side of the ball because you're focused on your side. Do you notice a difference though in Mac Jones at all? The way he carries himself, the way that he's walking around the team, the way that he huddles up, anything like that? Do you notice a difference?
Oh, no doubt about it. I think he's just been way more of himself this year. I think, you know, when you come into anything and you're a rookie, I think everything's on, you know, how do I learn? I need to learn to do this. I need to learn everything possible. And I feel like this year he's kind of let some of that go. He's obviously still learning, but he's being himself. He's leading. He's doing the things that I think he did at Alabama that he did in high school. And that's the things I've been encouraging him. Don't try to be a type of leader that you think you should be. Just be yourself, man. It's been a lot of fun, obviously, as an older guy, to watch him grow in just a year and do different things. It's helped us out a lot offensively, and I would say overall, even as a team.
Yeah, he just seems to be more in command, or at least more comfortable, obviously, being a rookie in the league. It couldn't be helpful as well, as he's trying to find his way in his place, that Brady returned, right? I mean, that had to be something different for him to deal with. And then, you know, the way that the season did end, as despite the terrific stretch in the middle, it was a learning curve. And I'm just wondering if you think he comes in more confident this year.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably one of the hardest places to be at. You're playing for a franchise that's won, you know, multiple Super Bowls. You come behind Tom Brady. It's just, I think, everything was stacked up there. And I think last year he came in and did a great job of just going to work. You know, he spent so much time in the facility working with different guys, figuring things out. And I think that was a good foundation for him. And I think this year, it's like, all right, I've done that. Now let me try to advance and move to the next level and ignore all the other things and just try to be the best version of myself. And I think the group that we have player-wise on offense, encouraging them, upbeat guys, they love to have fun. I think that's made it a lot easier for him to come out and just kind of sling it and have fun and play football.
And then the defensive side of the ball, the do-your-job aspect of that, how is it coming together? Obviously, J.C. Jackson's not with the team anymore. Your two cents on how things are looking on that side of the ball that clearly you're part of, Devin?
Yeah, I think we've had some really good moments. I think we have a lot of good players up front, and I think that's probably the strength right now. When I look at guys like Barmore and Judon and Gotchow and Bentley, those guys have been so aggressive. We saw it here over the last 2 days, getting after the passer, making plays, and I think in the secondary, we have a lot of familiarity right now, you know, with guys doing multiple things like Jonathan Jones and Miles Bryan, and then our safety group returning the three guys that played a lot last year, myself, AP, and Doug. We've just been putting it together, and I think we've kind of challenged ourselves to kind of take it up a notch each time we step on the field, and I think that's been the battle. And, you know, obviously, like I said, we've had some really good moments, and we'll figure things out as we get into game planning and doing more things like that as the season comes. But I'm excited with some of the things we can do as a defense and grow from there. But I think having some of the older guys, the guys that have played in this defense for a while, will help us, especially early in the season.
We had the former head of NFL refs, Mike Pereira, who now works as a rules analyst on Fox, talking to us the other day, Devin McCourty, about the league's emphasis on the illegal contact rule and how there were so few penalties in that regard last year. The competition committee has instructed the officials to put more of an emphasis on it to see those numbers go up. Have you noticed that? And if so, what has Belichick already counseled you guys knowing that is coming?
Well, we always talk about do business as business being done. So you got to kind of gauge how to call it. But I hate it. I hate why do we need more illegal contact? You know, it's we can barely touch the receivers and stuff already. So to think that they're going to, you know, that they're going out there and calling more. We met with the refs and they told us the same thing of how they're going to be trying to see that more and call it more. So another challenge for defensive players, and particularly in the secondary, of how we can get the offense to score more points.
So when the officials came to camp and told you that, did you push back? I mean, you're a 13-year vet.
I didn't. I've learned. I've had, again, now 13 times where we met with officials, and it's usually a back and forth. And each Sunday, I would say, it's a little different. And you got to figure it out through that first quarter. How's the game being called? Not just for you, paying attention a little bit when our offense is on the field. How are they calling it? What calls are they calling? Is DPI going to be called close, holding, legal contact? Like, all that stuff you watch, and then you kind of go as the game's being called. And I would say, the good referees in this league, you know, they call it consistent. However it goes, they kind of call it like that, and I think you got to gauge off that and play from there.
I mean, you're a safety. You got guys much bigger than you sometimes coming at you off the line, you know? I mean, and
Rich, sometimes you got to grab and tug a little bit. You got to get good at it. That's what Darrell Revis taught me. He's like, it's not that you don't hold. You got to get good at holding.
What a line. It's not that you don't hold. You got to get good at holding. That's what he said to you, huh? Wow.
That's what it's about. You gotta learn the tricks of the trade.
Devin McCourty here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, Devin, I don't want to start anything, but I'll do it. I know. How about that as a wind-up for my pitch here?
No.
Your brother is now part of the paparazzi, part of my world at the NFL Network now on Good Morning Football. And I noticed he tapped out of your Twitter account and created his own. You cool with that, Devin?
Yeah, I told him. Rich, I would finish practice, and I would go check Twitter, and there would be, like, 20 mentions about his show. And I'm just like, I haven't watched any of Good Morning Football. I don't know what he said.
Yeah.
And people are blowing us up about some take he had on this team's not going to be a contender. I was like, bro, you got to get your own Twitter. Like, I can't deal with this every day. And I'm still getting tweets about what he says, and I just try to direct the people to his own personal account. Because I'm sure he's saying a lot of nonsense on there every morning.
Let's say. Yeah, so, again, I don't want to start anything, but you kind of opened the door there. So you're saying Jason's bad takes are clogging up your Twitter timeline. Yeah. Is that what you're saying, Devin? His bad takes are clogging up your Twitter timeline, your mentions? You don't need that?
No doubt about it. But I did tell him, man, be aggressive with your take. And whatever you feel, say it. Don't try to play the fit.
Okay. And let's just say on your bye week, Jason wants a week off. Will you sneak in there and purport to be him and try and trick everybody and spend a week and get off your chest what Belichick won't let you get off your chest and let your brother own it? Can you do that, Devin? What do you think?
I'm all for that, Rich, but we got to kind of keep that low. I can't get fired, you know, at the bye week. That won't go well for me.
My
wife will be angry if I'm stuck at home.
Understood. I got it. I guess I should have asked you that offline instead of putting that out in front of the people just like that. But your brother's doing a great job, though. He sure is. He's a natural at it.
Appreciate that.
He's a natural at it.
I'll tell him.
He is. No, I told him, too, when he came on, and we'll have him on again. And I just think that's not an easy gig. That show is, you know, freewheeling. There's not a lot of prompter. You got to say stuff off the top of your head. You got to react. And I think he's doing a really great job so far. Really do.
Yeah, he likes to talk.
Okay. Very good. All right. And last one for you, Devin. We've noticed in our review of Bill Belichick's press conferences that he's been smiling a little bit more and throwing out compliments more than usual. Has he mellowed, do you think, Bill?
He's a happy guy, man. I don't know. I think you could probably get that out of him. I don't know how many people can, but Rich, I think you would be able to figure out what's got him so happy.
I don't know. Life? I don't know. Just
maybe, man.
And football.
And grandchildren, man. Grandchildren do that.
That's right. Because you can hand them off once you're done with them. Once you're done with them, you go give them back to the parent. Grandparents, that's the best part about it. Oh, man. Devin, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate the time calling in from Vegas. And let's chat during the season. Always appreciate our conversations.
Man.
Okay.
Good talking to you, Rich.
Take care. That's Devin McCourty right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't worry about the offense, Chris. That's the message.
Is he off the phone yet?
He is.
With all due respect, Devin, I'm very worried. I'm very worried.
See the reports that they had their worst offensive practice of
Rich,
the summer?
I'm reading all the tweets. I can't get enough. It's just like, you know what I mean? I'm not happy unless I'm unhappy. Well, I'm very unhappy, which means I'm happy. But I'm reading all the tweets, and it's driving me insane. How many more days until the season starts?
Well, September 11th is when the Patriots visit Miami. Today is the 24th, is it?
Yeah, so I think we're like 14. There's still time to get rid of these. There's still time to get
rid
of these
guys. 2+ weeks. There you go.
And get someone who knows what they're doing.
That won't happen. And Mac, you trust, bro. Here we go.
Mac, I trust. Not in Patricia, I trust. And Judge, I trust.
Oh, man. Can we put the Patriots schedule up? Let's put the Patriots schedule up, please. There it is. Two on the road to start.
Did I do this already?
Two on the road. You have not. You want to do it?
Yeah, you did. You picked them to win like 12 games.
I don't have it written down.
No, 10 and 7.
Wait a minute.
I feel like I did this already.
Hold on a minute. Let me get... I, I,
You 1,000%.
Let me write this down.
But I feel like I did.
He has not done it. I would have. I write these down on my book. And we have not done it. He has not done it. Maybe he did it with you guys. Maybe he did it.
Maybe
did you do it? Did you do it while I was buying my rakish hat? You didn't do it. You didn't do it in July. You can't do it in July.
No, why? You made me do the Cowboys in July. So I could be have done it.
Well, it's because you were talking some game.
I barely.
You had him 11-6. You had him 11-6, and I had the Eagles at 12-5.
Oh, right.
And a fan of the show, I didn't write whose name down, had the Giants go 9-8.
All right, well, let's do it.
Can you give me, please?
Yes, sir.
NFL Films music.
Oh, baby.
Chris Brockman, after just hearing from Devin McCourty, say, don't worry, the offense will be okay. Mac Jones is much more confident. He believes in him. Everybody chill out. Patricia's always done more than just defense. He's done offense before. And so after hearing all that from Devin McCourty, Chris Brockman still is all wound up about how bad the offense reportedly looks.
They had a good day today, apparently.
Perfect timing then, Chris.
Let's go!
I need the music. Patriots schedule is up. Chris Brockman, week one at Miami.
Loss.
Week two, the first team to visit Acrisure Stadium.
Bounce back, win.
Win. Home for the Ravens.
Loss.
At the Green Bay Packers.
Loss.
Oh, you'll be losing your mind if they start 1-3.
It's going to happen.
The Detroit Lions at home.
By the way, here comes the bounce back stretch. Win.
At the Browns.
Win.
Home for the Bears Monday night.
Win.
At the Jets.
Win.
Home for the Colts.
Colts are good. Good defense. Loss.
They're 5-4 going into the bye week.
We'll take it.
All right.
That's a win.
Home for the Jets.
Win.
At the Vikings on Thanksgiving night on NBC.
I think the Vikings are going to be pretty good this year. Loss.
I told you, Kevin O'Connell's going to unlock Kirk Cousins' inner prime time ability.
They're going to score a lot of points.
Then the next week, home for the Bills on a Thursday night, full complement rest because both teams play on Thanksgiving the week before.
We're just going to get pounded by the Bills this year. Loss.
At the Arizona Cardinals on a Monday night.
Kyler's probably hurt by then, right? Win.
At the Las Vegas Raiders, you'll probably be staying out west, and that's an NBC Sunday nighter.
Ooh, at the Raiders. Raiders are good. Loss.
Home for the Cincinnati Bengals and one Joseph Burrow coming to town.
Bengals taking a step back. Really, that's a big win right there.
At home for the Dolphins.
Win.
At the Bills.
What is the record right now?
You have them at, hold on, I'm at 6-4, 6-5, 6-6, 7-7, 8-9-7.
Ooh, this is to get into the playoffs. Bills are resting, guys. Win.
10-7. Chris Brockman has
that good enough for the seventh seed, you think, in the AFC?
It's possible. It depends on how deep the pool is truly in the AFC West. Or if you were the what's more likely the other day, or is an overreaction saying three teams get out of the AFC North?
That was an overreaction, but yeah.
If three teams get in from one division, that means there's only one spot available and the Colts might get it. And then somebody from the AFC North might get it. You might 10-7 might not
be
good enough.
10-7 might not make it. But 10 wins would be successful this year given the turnover on the coaching staff.
There you go.
Trying to be realistic.
Well, you had them losing at Minnesota on a Thanksgiving night. I don't know. I think there's all sorts of Belichick ugliness that Cousins might have to.
I think it's going
to
be pretty up and down year. They got that nice stretch before the bye week to kind of get right, and then we'll see what happens.
You think the Ravens coming and beat you?
Ravens are going to be good. Ravens are going to be good.
At the Dolphins. Boy, if the Dolphins start out 1-0 and Tua is finding Tyreek Hill and the Patriots just look terrible on offense.
Same thing happened last year. Remember, Dolphins came into New England and won week one because Damian Harris fumbled.
That's right.
So, you know, same thing happened.
10-7. Okay.
I think that's realistic. I'm optimistic.
I can't do the Jets one yet. I'm not doing the Jets one yet until I find out what's going on in Marina Del Rey with the knee of one BYU Cougar.
Yeah, I would say don't count on September.
Freaking Jets, man.
It's going to Jets.
I literally just muttered the words friggin' Jets into a microphone that goes beams around the world on YouTube and nationally.
You did?
On radio.
But you kept it real, and I think people appreciate that.
Now, is that right?
I think so.
Good to know. Let's take a break. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Let's unpack what Shams had to say a little bit about the Nets.
By the way, also, more Shams breaking news.
Oh, he hung up and broke news?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Shams is not for play, Rich.
Okay, let's we'll get to that when a Shams bomb when we come back.
Boom.
ChromeSoft X, ChromeSoft XLS, that's for the players that might be a little bit more advanced than folks like myself or TJ. See, I'm lumping myself in with you. ChromeSoft, the regular ChromeSoft, that's what I use for a wider range of golfer who wants more distance, better feel, incredible forgiveness. The bottom line is all three of the ChromeSoft golf balls that are offered by Callaway, enhanced with precision technology that uses design techniques and manufacturing specifications up to 1/1000th of an inch. This ensures they're the highest quality, most consistent, fastest golf balls possible. When you add it all up, it's pretty simple. ChromeSoft's better for the best and better for everyone. Find out which ChromeSoft is right for you at CallawayGolf.com/ChromeSoft. A great interviewing technique sometimes is to ask your guest, who's in the know for so many different things, is there anything I should know about that I should ask you about? That should be maybe the last question. But it's tough to do that on a radio TV show, you know? Certainly when you've kept an information individual 20 minutes.
I know, right?
I should ask that of Shams, huh? We hung up from him and he broke news?
What happened? Yeah, we hung up. And so number two overall pick, Chet Holmgren, was playing in a pro-am the other day with LeBron and a bunch of other NBA stars.
Up in Washington State, right?
There's a fear that Chet Holmgren has suffered ligament damage in his foot, undergoing further options. Exams now show potentially torn ligaments in his foot.
Oh, my goodness.
Timetable being determined based on further evaluation.
Is that the dreaded Liz Frank?
We've seen Liz Frank shut down NFL players recently.
Matt Corral.
Travis Etienne last year, Matt Corral this year for the whole year. So let's hope not, man, because Chet balled out in summer league, and he looked really, really good. And that, you know, that Thunder team's young and exciting, so this would be a major bummer.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my word. Well, if that happens, does the Oklahoma City Thunder begin to tank again, like right before the game is even play this year? Then how many times can you keep hitting the reset button?
Well, Philly did it how many years, TJ?
Too many?
A lot.
Yeah. Wow. It's just a bummer. Like, he's such a fun young player. We saw what he could be at Summer League. You know, the spark was there. It's like the potential's there.
Well, in our conversation with Shams, he was saying that based on his knowledge and reporting of the meeting in Los Angeles between Nets brass and Durant and Rich Kleiman, that everybody left kind of feeling energized. Everything is all out there on the table. And I don't know. If Durant was sitting there thinking he wanted out, and anybody who's an all-star asks out, they usually get their wish. And you can't even refer to him as an all-star. Durant. He's more than that.
No, he's like...
he's like a worldwide superstar, is what he is.
Second or third best player in the game right now?
And he asked out. And he didn't get out. Because...
the win for management.
The Nets...
right?
Well, the Nets are like, sure, you can go seek a trade. We'll just make the
asking
requirements so high that... We can't do it because we think so highly of you that we don't want to give you away for cheap. Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and the number one overall pick in the Nets' mind was cheap. And so, what's Durant going to say? Your asking price is too high for me, and I guess their answer would be, we covet you so much, Kevin, that we can't take anything less than this. Is that why he wanted Marks out? I mean, there's so much, you know, blank space. There's so many blank spaces to fill in. Yeah. It just, as I said, if you want something in a negotiation, you think you deserve it. You think others have gotten it when it's been asked of others in the business. Not maybe you specifically as management, but when somebody has a certain value and is widely believed industry-wide to be the best, if not one of the best, and that person doesn't get what they want, and it's presented them, well, here's the fait accompli. You either come back or you start, you hold your out your services, and we don't want that. Clearly, we think this is the best chance for you to win. You're the best chance for us to win. Let's get together. Let's combine forces again. That it's presented as a fait accompli, like you're not going anywhere. We covet you that much. Even though you could say covet you that much, it doesn't sink in. I just know. I've been in these positions before. There's a certain resentment. Now, when you start going through your business and start doing your job that you do love so much, you forget about it. But when the going gets tough and it happens again, where you feel like whatever promises you were given, assurances you were given aren't met, that's the thing I'm going to keep an eye out for this year, man. With him and the Nets.
And if Kyrie decides to show up to work.
Well, he's got, I mean, I don't know, he's got to do anything anymore. I have no idea.
We don't know what's going to happen. I mean, they
what
still,
a weird
you know,
team, man.
They have this potentially great big three. They've never played together. We have no idea what it's going to look like.
That's right.
We have no idea what it's going to look like.
Right? Zero.
Zero. Is Ben Simmons going to be what we think he might, could be? Like before it kind of all went south in Philadelphia? Like, I have no idea.
And I must send out an apology. Not that he'll care or maybe even hear it, but we've mentioned a couple times here on the show as fact that Ben Simmons left a text chat amongst the entire Nets team prior to game four against the Celtics saying, hey, we need you tonight. And he left the chat conversation. Shams called that 100% false.
Yeah.
For Pinocchio's.
That
and we mentioned that around here as fact.
And he would know.
Well, he would know.
He would know. He's got everything, you know, every Brooklyn story he breaks. So he's got connections there, obviously. I wanted that to be true. It just would have been funny.
So there's all of that. What a fun show today. For those who missed it, we had Arthur Smith on in hour one. He's already locked in. He didn't really give us much on what's going on with the season.
Mid-season
he's
form,
locked
man.
In, man. I think he loves Mariota, and I think he's going to – I think the offense will be better than people think. Drake London, I asked him if he'll be ready for week one. He said he didn't have a. He said he couldn't predict the future. I told him you should just tell me you don't have a crystal ball. He told me to ask Vrabel if he has a crystal ball. That Vrabel loves making predictions. I have a feeling he's leading me down a path. There.
That crazy draft photo, you know, from Vrabel's house. There could have easily been a picture, a crystal ball in the background of that picture.
Could have been.
You know.
Also, the director Michael Mann of Heat and now the author of the bestseller Heat 2 said he wants to make that into a movie as well. And told some great backstories of the movie Heat. If you missed it, youtube.com/RichEisen Show. Same with Devin McCourty of the Patriots, who we just hung up from. And also Shams. And in case you missed it, Joey Chestnut will be in Wrigley Field tonight and has agreed to use a hot dog as a straw rather than just trying to eat 75 of them in a short period of time.
Yes.
The greatest hot dog eater, the most famous hot dog eater on planet Earth.
Most famous eater, period.
Says he will, in fact, make a hole through a hot dog, use it as a beer straw, and send out the video tagging us.
Thank God.
We call that a win. Fly the W in Wrigley Field tonight. We're back on the Rich Eisen Show on the radio tomorrow.
If you're at Wrigley tonight, too, by the way, and you see Joey Chestnut, just start filming. Just take your phone out. Just do the thing. Just get video of him.
He said he's engaged again is what he said. Do you think it's the same person or is it a different individual?
I did hear that again in there.
Sounded like a different person.
I mean, he kind of laughed.
A little
when he said
negativity
it.
There.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. It was kind of like, again.
Jay Felly, you've done a lot of weird things in real life. Have you ever been engaged?
I thought so once. I woke up next to someone and we had rings on. Our last calls had been to some chapels. They didn't answer, luckily.
Who, the chapel didn't answer?
Chapel didn't answer, so we were
Was that in Las Vegas, Nevada?
It was in Tahoe.
Okay.
Answer your question?
Very good. A lot of beer straws that night.
Yep.
Hot dog beer straw. Hashtag it. Oh, baby. That is tonight. So you'll be on the lookout for that, right, TJ?
No.
What do you mean no? The Mets are off tonight.
I know. So I got to take a day off myself. And last night was, these last couple days were stressful baseball.
I know that. You know? Mets lead over the Braves down to 2.
Oh, Sarah's very happy.
very down happy. To 2. Was she rooting for the Yankees, actually, the last couple nights for the first time in a long time?
Yeah. And yeah. Something happened in the game where I was just like, please get a hit here or something. And it might have been for Alonso. And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I don't want the Yankees to win ever. Yep. I mean, with all due respect to your team.
And I respect you, sir.
Like, I respect you. I root you. For two teams, the Red Sox and who's ever playing the Yankees.
I respect Some you on that you front. Cross. I respect you on that front. And that sort of spite will help keep you warm in October as you watch other people play baseball.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Yeah. Oh, I'm already looking at the 2023 schedule that's out.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Who's going to be your starting pitcher first week?
No idea. Hopefully it's Nick Pivetta.
Is Devers going to be paid or not?
I mean, honestly, I have no idea.
Nick Pivetta. That's who you want to be your opening day starter next year?
He's our best pitcher right now. Guy's a horse.
Oh, he turned it around because Coop and I dropped him a few weeks ago.
Oh, he's been great. Yeah, he's been great. I don't know. It's going to be great, though. Aaron Judge's return to Yankee Stadium is June 9th.
Oh, you said, was that when the San Francisco Giants are in?
That's when the Red Sox play, though.
Yeah, right. That will happen when a spot, very warm spot, freezes over. You keep on warming your heart by that fire, sir.
I saw people tweeting at the Giants, like, Judge's return to Yankee Stadium.
Got it. Got it. 48 and counting for 99.
Is he going to get 61, you think?
I don't know. It's been a rough go lately.
He's only one off
pace
right now, right?
They've got 4 against the A's and then 3 against the Artie Morenos. So we'll see.
But he still has a week left in August, and he's got like the third or fourth most home runs ever before the end of August.
Well, that'll wrap it up for this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We greatly appreciate it. We'll see you right back here on our YouTube stream on Thursday. Once again, we're on YouTube until the Roku channel and this show begins to stream together in September. And we will be free on all Roku devices, Samsung Smart TV, Fire TV. You can download the Roku app and on the mobile device. The Roku channel is free there. And the same thing at therokuchannel.com. We will chat with you on Thursday.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.